Hello, everybody. You are tuning in to another episode of the Tall and Short of It podcast, where marriage and sports really aren't all that different. And you're here with me, Erica, and the other half, sometimes better, sometimes not, half of this podcast, Sean.
Sean's better all the time.
Well, we thank you for tuning in to another episode, and I'll just get the housekeeping out of the way. Again, you're listening to the Tall and Short of It podcast. You can definitely find us at our website, tallandshortofitpodcast.com, where you can listen to this episode as well as past episodes as well. We're also on Stitcher, Podomatic, and iTunes. Just have to search Tall and Short of It podcast. Definitely subscribe. And check us out, check our old episodes out, and just subscribe so every week when we record and post a new podcast, you'll have the latest. You can definitely leave us a review. Let us know if you like it, you dislike it, you agree, disagree, whatever we have to say, or if you had any suggestions or anything like that. So please check us out. Please leave a comment or email us, which all of our information is on our website, including our Twitter accounts, which the podcast has its own account, which is TASOIP. Sean's Twitter account is at aceofdiamonds99, and I am at supersportsgirl. Now, we have that out the way. Are you ready to get into the week that was, babe?
Let's do it.
All right. So, one of the things that we wanted to start off with is talking about some football games and how they ended. So we'll start from the oldest. So Saturday, Georgia and Auburn faced off. And I think Sean was tweeting from our Twitter account. And one of the best catches of the year is definitely going to be one of the best plays of the year. Auburn, you know, throws basically a Hail Mary. It's tipped by two Georgia players, and instead of it being knocked down, it is tipped into the receiver's hand, and he runs in for a touchdown. And Sean was tweeting that God is an Auburn fan.
Yeah, just unbelievable. It was one of those back-and-forth games, just a typical day in the SEC. Auburn, who struggles with the ability to complete a forward pass, was in a situation where they needed to drive the length of the field after Aaron Murray had got Georgia the lead. So, 4th and 18. And he throws a deep post down the middle of the field. Auburn defender is behind, excuse me, receiver is behind two Georgia defenders, but the ball is underthrown. They go up for it. Instead of, as Tom Jackson would say, knock it down, they go for the pick, tip it into each other. Receiver catches it off the ricochet, trots into the end zone. Stadium goes wild. If you remember back, I want to say it was in 2007, Kentucky was playing LSU. Hal Mumme was the coach, and they Kentucky thought they had this great upset. They even gave the coach the Gatorade bath, and same type of deal. LSU throws a Hail Mary, gets tipped, receiver catches it, touchdown, same thing here. People, well, Auburn followers are believing this is, oh, this is destiny. You know, God is on our side. That's why, because my timeline was just like, wow. You know, it was one tweet that said, and the touch of Jesus. But, so.
Touchdown, Jesus,
go south, I guess. So, you know, that was just crazy. You know, Georgia still had a chance to win the game. They drove down there. Of course, didn't score. But, That game was crazy. So it's setting up. Auburn is on a bye this week. Alabama's playing a cupcake. So a great Iron Bowl Thanksgiving weekend. There is even a Toyota dealership in Auburn, Alabama that says if Auburn shuts out Alabama, you get your car for free.
What?
From November 19th through the 29th. Yes. Now, mind you,
I don't believe that's going to happen.
Alabama has not been shut out since 2000, 13 years ago, which came at the hands of Auburn. Now, if you're just going down there and you got to purchase a car anyway, why not from this guy? You know, hey, all right, I mean, okay.
Kind of like but, lottery. And you know,
but the chances of Auburn shutting out the Tide are about the same as me trying to dunk on Shaq. It just is not going to happen. So, but anyway, that was very intriguing. It was a very entertaining game, too. I didn't think, and I stated it on the podcast, that Auburn would be able to score with Georgia. I felt like the inability to throw the ball would hurt Auburn. It didn't. Auburn did a great job with play action to move the ball a bit. And, of course, their running game is superior, but hard-fought game. Auburn comes out on top. Then, moving to Monday night, the biggest crock of shit I have ever seen. Well, I'm sorry. Since last year on Monday Night Football, yeah, with the Seahawks and the Packers, this non-pass interference call.
Well, I mean,
it was so... And then the reasoning is, oh, it was deemed uncatchable. How do you know that? How do you know that? And you cannot just grab and hold and impede his ability to attempt to catch the ball.
It was just a loving bear hug.
Okay, first of all, full disclosure, let's back up. Erica is a diehard Colts fan, all right? She hates the Patriots. And the reason why she hates the Patriots...
Because they're cheaters.
...is the Patriots beat that Colts ass on a consistent basis.
They're cheaters.
Erica, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. That's the rule of life. You know, she's just like, oh, it's a bad call.
It was a bad call.
The ramifications of that bad call are this. At the time, the Patriots had two losses. One game behind Kansas City and Denver. I'm talking to the people. Okay, this loss puts them two games back. Okay, when we're talking about seeding for the playoffs, that's big. Furthermore, the precedence that this sets, I mean, come on. How do you not call that? The guy is holding Gronkowski.
Well, I will say this,
though. Holding. And this is the thing. Okay, if you don't call pass interference, it's defensive holding. Now, the difference between that is it was in the end zone. Pass interference puts the goal ball first and goal at the one. Defensive holding, 5-yard penalty, first down. Now, that's a big difference. That's a huge difference. To me, this was pass interference all the way. Now, this doesn't automatically give the Patriots the victory. It does not. But first and goal at the one, I'm taking Thomas Brady. I'm taking that. So I feel like the Patriots were robbed. They were kind of mum after the game, of course, with the loss to the Ravens earlier this year with the field goal incident, and Belichick getting fined for criticizing the refs. So, you know, he really didn't have too much to say. But I'll speak up for him. That was horrible. And this is the thing. I love the NFL, and I love their instant replay policy, and I feel like for the most part the NFL gets it right. They didn't get it right Monday night. They cost the Patriots a big game, and they're not acknowledging it. And it's just anybody with any football sense, no, that's a flag. And the guy that was in position threw the flag and got overruled. Are you serious? Are you serious? If it ain't right, it ain't right, man. That's just crazy. It don't matter what your rooting interest is. As a fan, that's not right.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Like I said, it doesn't guarantee the win, first of all. Second of all, I agree. It was a bad call to just pick up the flag and just act like nothing happened. Something happened, you threw the flag. Now, I would say, yes, it was a stretch to assume that Gronkowski could make the catch. It was a stretch to assume he wouldn't. You don't know. So, I do think in that instance, defensive holding would have been the right call. But here's the thing. You know, should have been in a better position. If you had the lead, it wouldn't be an issue. So, I don't care.
That's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. Tom Brady drove down the field in 59 seconds, which was freaking awesome, by the way. And put his team in a position to win. Taking nothing away from Carolina. Carolina played a great game. Carolina's a very good team.
Yeah. I think they finally got all parts working.
They got everything working. You really don't. That defense is tough. So it was going to be a close game. We predicted Carolina to win anyway.
Yep.
So Thomas Brady just does what Thomas Brady does.
I'm mad that you're calling this man by his full name. Do you know his middle name too?
No, his mama called him Thomas. I'm going to call him Thomas. So I just feel like as a leader, when you put your team in a position to win, outside influence should not dictate the outcome. That's what the refs did. It was a horrible call. And people say, oh, things like this balance out. No, they don't. No, they don't. No, they don't.
Well, the Patriots got the tuck rule. Then this is just, you know, okay. The antithesis of that.
Man, it's been different calls since then. It's been called since then. And this is, it's crazy. I just don't think it's right. I hate to see when people get cheated. I can't stand it.
It's the Patriots.
Patriots got cheated.
If this was the Colts,
we would
be heated.
We'd have had to do the podcast at freaking 2 o'clock in Tuesday morning. Because you have been so up in arms about it.
Listen, I would say probably other 31 teams, I would probably be a little more animated about it. But it is the Patriots, and I loathe them so much that I do feel indifferent. Do I think it was wrong, and it was wrong to pick up the... I'm admitting that part. I mean, I'm not going to be crazy and say that they shouldn't have... everything was rosy and that was just fine. No. And I do think it's a little disingenuous by the NFL and the refs not to admit their mistake. I really do. I think it's disingenuous by them not to admit their mistake. But
I mean, it's like it's king shit. You know, the king is never wrong. You know, and that's what the league is saying here. Oh, we're not wrong. We made the call. Let's move on to next week. That ain't right, man. That is not right. Now, you can't go back and replay the game. I 100% get that. I get that. But, man, come on.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Well, like I said, moving on. They lost. Woohoo! So, another thing, actually, something that happened today that we were going to talk about is Alex Rodriguez is in the middle of his grievance hearing about his suspension for 211 games. And today it was reported that he stormed out of his grievance hearing because the arbitrator said that Bud Selig, who's the commissioner of Major League Baseball, does not have to testify under oath for the hearing, and that just incensed him and fumed, and he just went on this rant. He went on like two different radio shows, and the article that we have here from ESPN, he's just first off, he's saying that he didn't do anything wrong. He didn't take any performance enhancing drugs from Biogenesis. And then he goes on to say that Ryan Braun only got 65 games because he's from Milwaukee, and Bud Selig used to own the Brewers before he became the commissioner. He also said that he thinks that Buzz Seeley hates his guts. That tickles me so much. He hates my guts. He hates my guts. He calls it completely personal. And so even though there were other people that got caught in the biogenesis investigation, which the person who led the investigation was at the hearing, that was not good enough for him. So I will say that the Major League Baseball Players Association does side with A-Rod in their they are not happy with the fact that Bud Selig does not have to testify. But, you know, they're like, hey, we'll just have to deal with it. But A-Rod is like, well, if he ain't testifying, I'm not testifying. So, you know, basically, the case is done. I mean, he's going to have to serve out this suspension.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think so. And, well, first of all, let me preface this by this. I'm an A-Rod guy. I had the pleasure when we lived in Dallas and he played for the Rangers of going to a game and having a great seat, and I saw in my eyes the greatest player, well, one of the greatest players in our generation in person. 6'4", 225, cat-like reflexes, can hit for power, can hit for average. Phenomenal to see in person. Phenomenal in his prime. Now, I don't condone steroid use. But I don't judge, because if you were given a choice to take a pill that can increase your salary by $1 million, would you not take it? So I hate when people try to, oh, steroid, yeah, that isn't it. No, no, no. Is it a personal decision? Yes. But would the majority of people take those pills? Absolutely. Especially if you feel like you can't get caught. If you could increase your salary by $1 million by just taking a pill, would you not do it?
Why do you act like such a little kid about it? I mean, he's an impetulant child, which, you know, like I said, we were talking about this before the podcast, and I do believe that Alex Rodriguez is so ill-equipped socially for some reason. So, you know, this is just kind of like a symptom of his personality with this storming out and all of this and going on this rant. That's fine, whatever. But I agree, you know, and especially people like Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, it wasn't illegal to take it.
Well, it...
it was illegal, but it was no test for it.
But they weren't testing for it. It was more of a...
So I could under...
It was more of a moral thing.
I understand more with them because it was kind of like a free pass. Everybody knew. Nobody said anything. Nobody was going to say anything. It was too good for baseball. And that was a different era, and that was okay then. But since this testing has come out, then this is the thing. You can take that chance. Just like in a car, you can take a chance to run a red light, but once you get caught, you really can't complain.
Well, this is the thing. I don't know if he took it or not. I don't know. Don't really care, to be honest with you. But what I do care about is people getting what's fair and what's not fair. Everybody in our judicial system, you have the right to face your accuser. Now, I understand the commissioner hasn't testified in these type of hearings in the past. Okay, well, that don't make it right. There's been so many inconsistencies with Major League Baseball and their suspensions and their investigations, picking and choosing what information to make public, picking and choosing what information to allow the defense to have in this particular case here. A-Rod's money's long. Baseball's money's long. We'll see. Because if this ends like this, it'll go to a federal court. And Bud Selig will have to testify. I think they're protecting him, to be honest with you. This is his last season I want to say this is his last season or next to last season as commissioner. I think they're protecting him. And I do think it's personal. Brian Braun lied and only got 60-some-odd games. You're giving this man 211 because you don't like him as a person? That's not right. So I think it's a waiting game to see.
But he got caught before, right?
He got caught before. He got caught. No, he didn't get caught using steroids.
He just admitted it.
His name was on a list, and he never failed a drug test. That's what it was. Alex Rodriguez has never, and in this, he never failed a drug test. So I would be fighting it too. Like, man, hell no, I ain't finna be suspended for 211 games. And what you have in place to say what the punishment is, I don't fall into that category. I don't fall into that. So my name is on this list. Oh, you know what? I'm just over there getting creatine. What, we can't take creatine no more? You know, that's what I would say. But back to the story. The fact of the matter is this. A-Rod feels like he's not getting a fair shake, which he's not going to get a fair shake anyway. Major League Baseball appointed the arbitrator.
Now, that is where, I'm not an A-Rod guy.
There's no win there. But I feel like you got to protect your name. You know, Rodriguez, that's your family name. You got to protect that, and you got to go hard at that. I say keep it going as long as you can. Get it in federal court. And this is the thing. You may lose, but if you expose baseball, you win.
Yeah. So I will say this. I'm not an A-Rod guy, and the fact that Major League Baseball appointed the arbitrator, you know, it is the arbitrator's job to be fair and impartial. But as the arbitrator, if this is your business, the person who employed you, you are going to...
Oh, this is his first case, by the way.
I mean, yeah, so if you want to be hired again, you're going to have to... At some point in your mind, you're thinking, I got to do some things in favor of who hired me. Because Alex Rodriguez didn't hire him. So he has no connection, no loyalty. Even if it's subconsciously, the person who hires you, and this is like a big deal to be hired by a major league sport, subconsciously, even if it's just subconsciously, you're going to want to do something to curry the favor to be hired again.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like when you're at your job and there's new management or you get a new boss and they give you your first assignment, you go all out for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, A-Rod, man, I'm rooting for you. You know, I think you're fighting an uphill battle, brother, but do what you got to do, man. Take it to the highest court. You know, this is bullshit on so many levels.
Well, speaking of another controversial situation in sports that is going to, I don't think is going to be settled anytime soon, is this situation with Jameis Winston. And I read last week when the story first broke, I read about, you know, this reporter. He got a tip, which I sincerely believe the tip is somebody's in the accuser's family, that, hey, there is a case out there involving somebody from the Florida State Seminoles football team. You know, go check it out. I think they gave him like the case number, and he went and asked, and there was some phone tag and some emails going back and forth. And somehow, even before they got back to the original reporter that inquired, TMZ got a hold of it, and they emailed and called about it. And so that's how it just kind of blew up from there. But Jameis Winston is accused of raping a woman back in December of 2012. The police report was released. It was heavily redacted. And I will say, out of all this, the weirdest thing is the description of the gentleman that did the rape that they put in a police report is nowhere near the physical description you could ever give for Jameis.
Well, this is what I'll say. Now, once again, you know, before I get comments and emails. Yes, I am a Florida Gator fan. Always have been, always will be. It's not that I hate Florida State like Erica hates the Patriots. I have respect for Florida State. I really do. It's just like when they play in the Gators, now to hell with them. But this is what I'll say. Looking at the facts, looking at what we know, the cover-up by the Tallahassee Police Department and campus security reeks of protection for Jameis Winston.
And I will say this. It does, and I think they botched it. I don't know if anything has been botched this bad since OJ, but this is we don't want to get him involved in anything, whether yes. it's whether it is true or not. They just didn't want him to be involved at all.
And that's how I feel about it. And
I don't even know if it's a cover-up of guilt. It's just a cover-up. We don't want your name in it, period.
No, he's guilty. Let's just call it what it is. And I mean, and this is my thing. I speak for the victim because no means no. My daddy taught me that. And you just cannot do what you want to with a woman, man, and from a physical standpoint, whether it's physical abuse or sexual abuse. Now, this case appears to be sexual abuse. There's some stuff we can get into about what we think happened, but we don't know.
Yes, because you know somebody that's a Florida State booster.
Yeah, I do.
And I do. They told you kind of like a backstory about this.
Yeah, and the backstory is the victim and Jameis knew each other in a relations type of way. Which is fine or whatever, you know.
Did they know in a Tara from Hip Hop in New York or a Amina in Hip Hop New York type of way? Which one was she? Was she Tara or was she Amina?
Jameis has a very nice looking girlfriend, by the way. You can Google him, Google image, and you'll see them sitting together. Very nice. This young lady is, she was the side piece.
So she was, okay.
She was the side piece. Which is fine or whatever, man. You know, do your thing, Winston. Do what you can while you can, brother. So, but the thing is, they've had sexual relations before, but this particular time, something didn't go as the plan. And we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to sit up here and I can give you what I can speculate, but I don't know that. And it would be disrespect to the victim and to this situation to come out and say that. So I won't go there. But what I will say is, from what I've been told, is they had sexual relations in the past. It was something that they did. But for whatever reason, this time it just went wrong. So what I'll say to that is, just because you sleep with somebody
doesn't give you the right
to go past the line. It doesn't give you the right to do that. And I think that's what kind of happened here, which goes back to he said, she said. And unfortunately, it's always tough to prove he said, she said in the court of law. Now, apparently there are witnesses. Now, Jameis Winston, we're going to see how good your friends are. We're going to really see how good your friends are.
What is Barry Bonds' friend named Greg?
Greg Anderson.
You see, we're going to find out if you got Michael Vick fans or if you got Greg Anderson type of friend.
That's what you're going to find out. Now, to me, I think if I were Jimbo Fisher, the coach, I would just point blank ask Jameson and I would tell him, like, look, don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. If you did what you're being accused of, you need to step away and handle it. And that's me coming from a moral standpoint.
There's nothing filed against him.
But you know what? It's coming. You know why it's coming? Because he is the quarterback on the number two ranked team in the nation. Heisman Trophy hopeful. It's coming. this is, from a prosecutor standpoint, this is a career case. It's coming.
See, I would say this. I don't think it's a career case, and I don't think it's not a career defining case for him, because it is going to be very hard to prove the guilt based on, like I said, the police department has botched this up bad.
There's so many ways that they can go, though. They can go after Winston for sexual assault. They can go after that particular police department for a conspiracy and cover-up. There's a lot of ways this thing can go.
Right, so, but Winston in particular going to trial for this, you know, there is a, it's just that when it comes to women and rape, there is so much shaming that goes on for a woman and her sexuality. And there are so many things that are just kind of like stereotypes and perception of women and sex that it is going to be very hard. You know, if it does come out that, you know, she was like that side chick, and then it's like I can see the defense just painting this very bad picture of her, no matter who she is, what if she's, you know, it doesn't matter how much sex she has. If you're raped, you're raped. But the fact is, women and sexuality and the perception of how a woman should be and whether or not women deserve bad things that happen to them and consent is going to be very, very hard for a prosecutor. And that's why I think he's going to wait to the 11th hour to even bring charges against him, because once you file the charges, you have to follow through to the end, and it's going to be so hard to actually get a guilty verdict out of a jury. Like, they would have to find a way to get an all-female jury, I think.
Well, I think they would have to move the venue.
Who in the country don't know about this right now?
Well, I'm just saying, they can't do it in Tallahassee. They can't do it in Tallahassee. I mean, and then what's messed up is...
Because, yes. And listen, you know, like, the police told her that she's going to be raped through the coals and stuff. I don't know where they came from saying that, if it was a cover-up standpoint, but it was an honest, true statement. And honestly, they were like, oh, the police told us that. But whether it was Olivia Benson saying it in a genuine spot, or it was a man saying it like, you need to just shut your mouth so the Seminoles can win this national championship, either way, that is the truth. Like, this woman's life, they already moved out the state.
But Erica, if it ain't right, it ain't right.
No, man. I agree. I agree. If he raped that woman, I don't care how many times they had sex before. If he raped that woman, that is wrong, and he needs to be brought to justice. He needs to have his trial and stand in front of her and, you know, stand trial for her. I agree. But what I'm saying is, and I think that they did, the girl maybe kind of let it go, like, you know, whatever, it's blown over, I'm trying to move on with my life. It is just, she goes to trial. If a judge doesn't see fit to move the venue, then she's going to have a very hard road to hoe. She is. That's just the reality of it. Because there is so much shame for women to have sex, and whether or not you consent and you agree, because women are, it's just a whole lot of gender bias in the world for women, to where it's going to be so hard for her.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, if you have a vagina, you don't have rights. I mean, you know,
it ain't even your vagina.
You know, so it's a mess. But my thing is this, taking the sports thing out of it. I have daughters, and if they were in this situation, I would want them to have justice. I don't care who it is. And the way I look at it is, if there was a crime committed, the victim deserves justice. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter what the burden of proof is. What happened to her, in her mind, was wrong.
You know, and I will say this. I know that as a parent, your number one priority, I know you want to get justice, but as a parent, your number one priority is your child and her health, her mental health, this recovery. So I can understand them not, you know, being kind of like bulldogs with the police department and the state attorney. But whoever their lawyer is, this lapse of time from she identified him in January all the way till it is now November, to me, that was kind of lackadaisical on their attorneys. Because I would have just been, I would have called the media. I'm like, hey, what, you know, somebody needs to know about this. And I think at this point, maybe she's stronger mentally to where the parents like, okay, we need to get back to this. But, you know, I could see that if it was that traumatic for her that, and they moved out the state, you know, that that was their priority. Whoever her lawyer is and their family lawyer, I don't know, maybe they just hired the lawyer, but from what we read, it seems like they had a lawyer all the time.
Well, and, you know, it's, I'm just at a point to where I'm like, man, let's let the wheels of justice go and do what they need to do. But, and we can move on from this, because, I mean, we can have a two-hour show about it. This is the thing. It's high profile now. This is no longer a regional story. It's a national story. Strictly because of how the team is doing. And if the team keeps winning, the bigger this story will be. Now, we'll see what type of character Jameis Winston has. Now, he has been portrayed in the media as a loose guy. He gets the team loose. The team follows him. And he plays well. I'm very impressed.
Especially for a freshman.
I'm extremely impressed. But we'll see. We'll see, it, you know, how he does. So, but we just have to just wait.
Yeah, we'll see. Like I said, I really don't know how to make heads or tails of this situation. There is a lot more information needed to even kind of make a form an opinion about, you know, guilt or innocence. So we'll see how that goes. And that wraps up the week that was in sports. The upcoming week, we'll start out with the NBA tonight. The Pacers and Knicks played, and we caught the end of that while we were prepping for the podcast. And Knicks lost. They lost in overtime.
And they were leading the bulk of the game, too. It just... I know that everybody, oh, it's a slow start. So, how long is a slow start? Is it five games?
James Dolan ain't trying to hear that.
They're 10, 11 games into the season. This isn't a slow start.
They not good.
Yes, your ass is not good. Now, I personally believe that Carmelo Anthony is not a fit. He's an isolation player, one-on-one. And, in my mind, one of the purest scorers in the league. Carmelo's got moves for days. He can give it to you however you want to. But they need ball movement
in New York. And J.R. Smith is not that answer.
J.R. Smith is a great complimentary player to a team that moves the ball. He's awesome. But, man, the Pacers were down early. They made it manageable at half, and they outscored them in the fourth quarter, and then they dominated overtime. That's what good teams do. And, hey, and like I said last week, the Pacers ain't going away. Now, they're no longer undefeated. Chicago beat them up pretty good. But what are the Pacers now, 10-1?
Mm-hmm.
10-1? Miami is 6-3. So you're looking at a 2.5-game lead? Yeah, man, the Pacers are for real, and it's just they are healthy, they're deep, and they're defensive, and that's going to be a problem. They have the formula to win on the road. They play good defense, and they play from the inside out. Even though Hibbert isn't getting his touches like he was last year, they're still a balanced and solid team. And it's gonna be interesting to see. It is, you know, if they can remain healthy, and they get home court advantage, they're gonna be a tough out.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that Indiana is a complete team. Their defense is strong enough to carry them, even if their offense isn't at optimum playing level on a night. Their defense can carry them. And, yeah. Our child. Yeah. Anyway, don't have kids, guys. Anyway, so I think that Indiana is a great force in the East. Anytime they match up with Chicago, it's must-see TV. And the Knicks need some answers. I know that they have been shopping Shumpert and Smith, but I don't know where the answers are not coming from what they have right now. And for Carmelo to be supposed to be the answer for them, that has just totally not really worked out. And I will say that Carmelo has not had the best supporting cast for the time that he has been with the Knicks, but the answers that they need are not coming from what they have right now. Meta World Peace just came back this game, and he came off the bench, but Amari's still not playing. What has happened that he just can't stay healthy?
Well, that knee injury that he had, it's just hard for him to come back from that. A guy that made his bones in the league with being explosive, with putbacks, having one move roll into the basket, and you take away his explosiveness, he gets exposed for a lack of skill. He's not like a Kevin Garnett big man that can play facing the basket 12 to 18 feet away and hit a jumper all day. That's not Amari Stoudemire. So without his explosiveness, he's going to struggle. And he needs a point guard that will involve him in the game. From a pick and roll standpoint, let him roll to the basket and get there that way or get to the free throw line. He doesn't have that. So they're going to struggle. Carmelo Anthony taking 28 shots, making 10. There's no ball movement there.
He's just like, everybody get out the way, go on the other side, and I'm finna ISO, and here we go.
And then you're playing a defense that can collapse on that, and it's gonna be tough. And the Knicks are gonna continue to struggle. Carmelo, free agency, you need to give him the deuces.
Yeah, he needs to go to Chicago, maybe.
Come to the Lakers. Transition from the Mamba.
I think Carmelo's a little too old for that to be the future.
Well, I'm just saying, we all about bright lights and victories in the law. So,
whatever. So, another team that I wanted to talk about real quick is the Brooklyn Nets. That was supposed to be championship. This is championship or bust for them. And they are just old. They are currently 3-8. They lost tonight to the Charlotte Bobcats, who are at .500, which is kind of...
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's pretty good for them.
Well,
so.
This is the thing. The Nets don't know who they are. They don't know if they're an old team that wants to play half court and play defense, or they want to run.
They know they can't run.
They can a little bit. Now, I think what's Deron Williams being hurt is an issue. You can't lose an all-star and an Olympian and act like everything will be cool.
That's true.
But this is the thing, though. They're in the East, and you got teams that are starting to distance themselves in the Pacers, in the Bulls, in the Heat. So you can't just, okay, we're 3-8, we're 3-9, we're 3-10. You can't continue at this pace and expect to be playing in April, in June. So they got to pick it up. They got to string together some wins before this thing gets out of hand.
I don't know. But where is it coming? Kevin Garnett had 4 points. That's just not going to cut it.
Well, this is the thing. At what point does Joe Johnson
step up. At what point, Joe Johnson? You know, he played in this game against Charlotte 36 minutes. He took only 13 shots. You're a star, dog. There's nobody else. You are a star. I've never been a Paul Pierce fan, ever, because I don't feel like he can carry a team. And definitely at this age, he can't. Kevin Garnett, as a complimentary player at this point in his career, you got Lopez. I'm not a fan personally, but, you know, yeah, where does it come from? Where, without Darren Williams, I mean, where does it come from?
Andre
it comes
Blatch,
from Joe Johnson.
He actually, Andre Blatch had more points than Joe Johnson in this game. So maybe that can be a bright spot for them. I mean, I guess time will only tell, you know, where he fits in with their rotation and if he can show any consistency. But, I mean, he had a great game tonight, and just, you know, see how that goes. I don't know. I just, the Brooklyn Nets, you know, for the all the hype that was led up to this season, they've fallen pretty flat as well.
I need Jay-Z back, man.
We ain't got nothing to do with it. The Jigga Man has nothing to do with it, unless he's going to hand out some Rockaway jerseys or something. Anyway, Houston and Dallas, they're playing tonight. Right now it's halftime, and Houston has a 7-point lead. Actually, they had a much larger lead earlier in the second quarter. But they're at halftime, and let's see here. D. Dwight, has he's 7 for 7, 15 points, so.
1 of 3 free throws.
That's
standard for Dwight Howard. This is the thing. I'm not a believer in Houston because I feel like James Harden is a ball hog. I feel like he wants to be the star. I don't think he'll let Dwight shine to make that team go. I am a Jeremy Lin fan, by the way. Think the guy's pretty exciting, but I do think he's a liability on defense. I think the Rockets are a second-round playoff team, to be honest with you. I don't see them going deep.
I don't either.
I just don't see them going deep. I think that Dwight Howard ultimately puts handcuffs on your offense because he's a big man that does need the ball in the post, and you got Jeremy Lin and James Harden that can run. So I'm not a big fan of their lineup, but they are 8-4. You know, they're playing well. I just don't see that they are a playoff team that's going to make a difference.
Okay, so that covers the NBA. There are some good NFL games coming up. We got the Chargers and the Chiefs.
Can the Chiefs bounce back?
That's my phone. Apologize for that. So ghetto.
The ratchetness of this show, but you've got the Chiefs and Chargers division game. Can the Chiefs bounce back? I think they can because they have a formula that is about winning in the NFL. They can run the ball and they can stop the run. So I think the Chiefs will definitely bounce back from there. You got a very big game in the NFC East, and I'm not just saying it because I'm a Cowboy fan, but you got the Cowboys travel to New York coming off of a bye. They're 5-5. New York has won 4 straight. They're 4-6. And then you've got the Eagles on a bye at 6-5 in first place. Must-win game for the Cowboys, but the Cowboys will have a full complement of players. We talked about it last week. Miles Austin, please stand up and help out Dez Bryant. He's coming back, expected to play. DeMarcus Ware will play. Murray's going to play. So the Cowboys should be strong offensively. Defensively, we're still hurting a little bit without Sean Lee. But the Giants have won 4 straight, but they ain't look good winning 4 straight. So we'll see. Now, the Cowboys laid an egg this last game, true enough. You know, I can't lie about that. But
Cowboys are 1-4 away.
This is true. This is true.
So
this is true. But we're playing the Giants, a team we have beat, a team that's struggling in confidence. I think we jump on them early.
I don't think they're struggling in confidence because they've won four straight.
But look, okay, you're right. Four wins is four wins.
And I mean, I would even say maybe
Eli's not playing well. He's not playing Eli Manning football. They cannot run the ball at all. They still have a turnover issue. The Giants are very beatable. So I you know, it's not the late game, but it's 4:25 kickoff. It'll probably be the Fox game. Cowboys need to win it, and they need to go in there and handle it.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I mean, picking this game is, to me, is a little hard. Because of that, it was such a bad loss for you guys against the Saints. I expect a kind of a hangover.
Oh, okay.
All right. That's cool. And, I mean, I'm going to go with the Giants.
Okay.
I think that the Giants, I do think their confidence is building. And given that they have been in a hole before and then just made that run to make it to the playoffs, whereas the Cowboys really haven't done that. They, when it's counted most, the Cowboys have kind of faltered in the past.
Okay.
So I do think I'm gonna take the Giants.
The kids and I will have a nice dinner Sunday. You'll be eating water.
I cook dinner every day. So what are you talking about?
Well, I'm cooking Sunday. we're gonna do it up.
And I get bread and water.
Bread and water, because I don't know what to tell you. I like the Monday night matchup. San Francisco travels to Washington. RG3 gets a big stage, but I think the story here is the 49ers.
They need to decide who they're going to be.
They need to pick it up. You got, from a wild card standpoint, Seattle's kind of got out ahead of you a little bit. So now you're battling for a wild card. And you're battling against the Carolina Panthers, the Bears, the Packers, you can throw the Cowboys and the Eagles into that mix too. So they have got to get a win. And all the nonsense going on in Washington, I think they're a desperate team. And in the NFL, you do not want to play desperate teams. So I think it'll be a very good matchup. You know, I do think the 49ers are the better team. They've got the better roster. They should go in and win, but they are traveling cross country.
Yeah,
that's always something to take. Maybe it is the battle
of the regressing quarterbacks, because Kaepernick has kind of taken a step back from last year.
This is what I'm
saying.
But
he doesn't have his full complement.
He does have his full complement of players, and too, you know, they pay defensive coordinators in other cities too to figure you out. And it's more scheme than anything. If you look at it, he's not able to go downfield. They're not doing as much read option because he is the franchise guy now. So, yeah, and he's having to read defenses, and he's a young quarterback in the game. He's struggling with that. He's checking it down a lot. He's making some bad decisions when he is running the ball. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see. But I will say this before we go to random thoughts. I am so excited. Saturday night at 8 o'clock. I can't even believe I'm saying it. I can't wait to watch Baylor in Oklahoma State. I really can't. Baylor is averaging over 600 yards of total offense. The number two team is 100 yards less than that. Oklahoma State, Stillwater, it's hard to win there. You know, they're going to be excited. It's going to be a great atmosphere. Baylor's top receiver is down. But, man, if you're looking for points, I think you're going to see it in that game. I think if Baylor wins this, they will jump Ohio State and move to number three in the BCS. Then we got to really start talking about who needs to play in this national championship game. Because Baylor still has big games left to play.
Yeah.
So, all I'm saying is, we need to check it out. So, if you're looking for offense, ABC game, Saturday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, Oklahoma State,
Baylor. Be there.
Yeah, I do think that that's the game of the week to watch. And, I mean, Baylor is fun to watch, period. I would say behind Florida State, that's the next team that's kind of like must-see TV when it comes to college football right now. So that's a great game to watch. All right, so random thoughts. Do you have any random thoughts, babe?
The only random thought that I have, you know, we had the little weight room incident last week. It just really comes from, it's a funny spin on it, but it's a serious topic, and that's racism. It's sad, but it's funny, it's reverse racism. Like, black folks will talk so bad about other black folks. Mm-hmm. And it's hilarious.
Wow.
It's funny. You know, we will say, oh, look at her. Look at her. Look what she got on. Look what he got on. You know, and then want to go into the white man's place and all of that.
What?
Yes, I hear that on a daily basis. So this is what I'll say with reverse racism. Before you sit up here and judge somebody,
take the satin hair bonnet off your head.
Yes. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Okay? So like I said, that this is way on the other extreme from the story I told you guys last week. Nothing interesting happened to me this week outside of just the reverse racism was just at an all-time high in my workplace this week.
Okay. Well, my random thought is it's kind of like just an inquiry to anybody out there that's listening or maybe they know of somebody or a place. We have a daughter entering her preteens. And there is a marked change in the following of rules. I'll say that. And it is frustrating. And it is it's beyond frustrating. Is there a camp where you send your kids to get programmed? You send them there for about 3 or 4 years. They come back when they can drive. 16, you know, but they've been programmed that they can follow the freaking rules and that they not as smart as they think they are. Is there a place where you send your kids for that? Is there, my Google search didn't turn up too much. So maybe it's word of mouth. Maybe they don't want to be out there publicly or something. So if y'all know anywhere I can send this child, because sometimes she just works my nerves so bad, I don't know what to do.
Well, there was a movie about 5-7 years ago called The Island, where you would go and...
it was a Jerry Bruckheimer movie.
It would be your clone and, you know, you'd live and things of that nature, so... Maybe we could send her to the island and get a clone back that would just do what it's told to do.
You know, I was telling Jada, that's our oldest, our preteen. Jada, I was telling her about, you remember Small Wonder?
No.
Oh my God, you didn't watch it? Okay, no. So Small Wonder.
That wasn't lame.
It wasn't a lame show. It was like the father, like, invented this robot, this human robot-looking robot. And, but they had to always pretend that she was just a regular little girl. And, the song to the show, she's a small wonder.
Yeah, 80s sitcom?
Yes.
Nobody watched that.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Okay. So, anybody out there.
Three seasons?
Yeah.
Okay.
Small.
You want to Google that like you did Ed Orgeron last week?
His mama called him Oregon. I'm going to call him Oregon.
Okay.
Small Wonder was a good show. Anyway, you know, they ain't have no problem out of little Vicky That was the little girl's name. On that show. Oh, that's the end. Anyway, so yeah, but you know, if you guys know of anywhere we can send her to get programmed, just to make it a little easier to try to rear a child to be have some good doggone sense, please let us know, because this child is gonna drive me crazy. Anyway, and also, if you know a small wonder, go ahead and either leave a comment. You can tweet the podcast account and let us know, because
nobody watched it but you.
Sean is the lame for not knowing freaking Small Wonder. That was good 80s TV. So please tweet us. Let us know if you remember Small Wonder, because that was a good show. I even still remember the little hook from the intro song.
Just because you remember it don't make you good.
Okay, whatever. So that is it, guys and gals. See, look at there. They got it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. 4 years. Anyway, that does it for the Tall and Short of It podcast. Please go to tallandshortofitpodcast.com and check us out. Any comments, leave comments. You can email us at tallandshortofitpodcast@gmail.com. Again, check us out at our Twitter accounts at TASOIP and AceOfDiamonds99 or Super Sports Girl. And thank you guys, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.